Expliquer un peu le contexte et la difficulté à laquelle est confronté le comité. On ne peut pas, de toutes les manières, le comité exécutif ne pourra jamais répondre à ce genre de questions posées de manière comme ça brute, et qu'il faudrait absolument que le comité soit informé du contexte et de tous les éléments qui font que le projet n'avance pas. Donc ma proposition est de normaliser cette manière de faire. Je ne sais pas la formule, mais le secrétariat pourrait nous éclairer comment, chaque fois qu'un cas pareil se pose, le président pourrait éclairer de manière suffisante les membres du comité exécutif pour qu'on puisse se prononcer, qu'on ne perde pas beaucoup de temps et que ces éléments soient disponibles bien à l'avance, parce qu'on ne pourrait pas, par des CRD, disons, réfléchir à la question. Je crois que c'est des éléments qui doivent être mis à la disposition des membres bien à l'avance et qu'on vienne ici déjà avec, avec une vision et avec une position claire. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, coordinator from Africa. And well, as we rightly saw since yesterday, the standards management function is evolving, and we are bound to come up with quite a number of challenging situations. And as executive committee, we shall address them accordingly. And this is a specific case. And as it has been pointed out by the secretariat, we don't really have properly defined procedure for interaction between the executive committee and the chairs as when a situation like this one arises. And secondly, we don't have enough information to be enable us to exercise fair judgment in trying to answer the question from this chair. So as executive committee, we should conclude by saying to this specific request, we should ask the chair to provide us more information, first as to why it has taken too long and why are they asking for such a long time to complete the project, and secondly, what are the surrounding circumstances that are making them, the committee, to think of discontinuation of the work? And if we have that information, then the executive committee will be able to utilize the criteria that we have set for us to make a judgment as to whether we should recommend discontinuation or otherwise. I think this will be a better summary for the response to this question. We are not in a position to say yes or no. And it's tricky. I mean, these are comments from the chair, and we are not very sure, much as we trust the chairs, but, you know, the discussion in the committee and the position of the other members in the committee, we need to be clearly informed of. That will be our summary for this issue. And can we continue, please, Tom? So we had gone as far as the coordinating committee for Asia. Vice Chair, I hope we have closed the subject. I hope you're not going back to the same.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm fine with your conclusion, but will you come back? Will you? Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm fine. I am happy with your conclusion, but will you come back later to the intervention just made by the member of the Southwest Pacific to look into it in a somewhat more generic way? I guess during the debate we touched upon it, changing the criteria or elaborating more guidance, and I guess that this is a valid point. And taking from the discussion we just had, I guess there is room to look into it in a more generic way, based on the criteria we have, try to develop somewhat more guidance that can be applicable in each case, rather than that we have to look into it case by case. So I'm fine with your conclusion, but wonder whether you will come back after this agenda item to the point made by the member of the Southwest Pacific. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair, for reminding us. And members will also remember yesterday we came across quite a number of situations where we didn't have direct answers, and we realized that the committee, as executive committee, we are in quite a bit of dilemma. And maybe I would suggest, again, following up from the recommendation or the intervention from the secretariat, that this is one of the areas where we need to come up with clearly defined procedure or approach of handling such situations, and we cannot clearly detail that in this committee. And can I take it that, as we agreed yesterday, this could be one of the issues the members of the Bureau would look at and put something on a piece of paper that can be looked at by the Executive Committee? Would that be fine? So that we are able to apply to have more generic procedures. Already we are seeing that the criteria are not as adequate as we thought, although they have been approved. So maybe this is one of the issues that the bureaus could look at and come up with proposals that we can discuss in the Executive Committee. Okay. Thank you very much. Then we are on the report from CC Asia, and we have two projects submitted. Three items. Are there any comments from the floor? None, then we note the progress. Then we have the report from Coordinating Committee for Near East, one project. And a comment? No, we note the progress. Then the report from the Codex Committee on Food Labeling. We have 4 items. Any comments, coordinator for Latin American Caribbean, please?
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad, se nos planteó una duda al ver el documento del Comité del Códex para el Cercano Oriente sobre código de prácticas para los alimentos que se venden en la vía pública. Y la razón de nuestra duda es que América Latina y el Caribe desarrolló un documento para la venta en la vía pública. Y lo que nos preguntábamos es si atento a que otro comité regional ha puesto de manifiesto la necesidad de contar con un documento de código de prácticas para venta en vía pública, ¿no sería el momento de pensar si es necesario internacionalizar una norma o avanzar en el desarrollo de una norma internacional en lugar de distintas normas regionales? Si bien entendemos que aún la venta en la vía pública puede tener variantes por regiones, nos parece que en términos de código de prácticas posiblemente podría encontrarse algo en común.
Thank you, member from coordinator from Latin American Caribbean. For the members, she has gone back to the project submitted from the Codex Coordinating Committee for Near East. And again, she's observing that couldn't this be turned into an international standard? Coordinator for Africa, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je me posais la même question. Donc, je voudrais supporter l'idée qui a été avancée par la coordinatrice de l'Amérique latine. Nous y avons pensé, nous avons discuté de ce sujet au niveau du comité de coordination pour l'Afrique. Je pense que c'est un problème très important. Et quand j'ai vu qu'il y a donc un projet au niveau du Proche-Orient, je me suis dit, est-ce que ça ne serait pas utile de penser à plutôt un code d'usage ou une norme internationale, parce que particulièrement en Afrique, comme vous le savez, la vente des aliments sur la voie publique est très répandue. Il y a eu beaucoup d'études par l'AIFAO, etc. Nous disposons de suffisamment d'éléments et de données pour peut-être penser à quelque chose qui intéresserait tous les continents. Donc, je pense que c'est une idée qu'il faudrait supporter. Il faudrait qu'on envisage la possibilité d'élargir ça à une norme internationale. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa, and member for Near East, please.
شكرا سيد الرئيس. نحن نؤيد بشدة ما أصرته الزميلة منسق أمريكا اللاتينية، لأنه مواصفات الخاصة بأغذية الشوارع، نعلم أن في الدول النامية على وجه الخصوص أغذية الشوارع يعني قطاع كبير جدا، وتنظيمه من خلال مواصفة والعمل على مجال سلامة الأغذية من خلال مدونة دولية أعتقد حيكون في صالح المجتمع الدولي ككل. فأؤكد أن احنا مستعدين لتبادل المعلومات مع باقي الأقاليم، كما نؤيد ما أصاره منسق أفريقيا في هذا الشأن أيضا. شكرا جزيلا.
Thank you, member from Near East, and member from Europe, please.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. À force de parler de ces aliments vendus sur la voie publique, ma mémoire travaille un peu et je me demande si le comité d'hygiène, le CCFH, n'a pas, il y a longtemps, travaillé sur cette question. C'est ma mémoire qui me semble me dire quelque chose. Mais je n'ai pas évidemment ici tous les éléments pour pouvoir répondre à cette question que ma mémoire me pose. Mais peut-être le secrétariat a aussi une bonne mémoire et il me soutiendra ou il me contredira peut-être.
Thank you, member from Europe, and indeed we were about to ask the secretary to come in. Secretary, please.
Avec tous mes respects pour le distingué délégué de la Belgique qui représente l'Europe. Malheureusement, je n'ai pas une mémoire de même niveau que Monsieur Kremer. Je ne suis pas en mesure de confirmer oui ou non est-ce que quand cette question a été débattue par le comité sur l'hygiène alimentaire. Mais j'aimerais saisir cette occasion pour faire quelques remarques sur les faits. Premièrement, le code d'usage pour les aliments vendus dans la voie publique existe déjà dans deux régions. Donc il y a un code adopté, un code régional adopté pour l'application dans l'Amérique latine et aux Caraïbes. Et il y a un deuxième code régional adopté, développé par le comité de coordination pour l'Afrique et adopté comme un code régional. Les autres régions, les autres comités de coordination ont déjà penché sur cette question et il y a un comité tel que le comité de coordination pour l'Asie qui a conclu qu'il n'y a pas lieu ni le besoin pour un tel code pour cette région concernée. Donc, premier point, c'est qu'il y a une certaine divergence sur la nécessité d'un tel code d'une région à l'autre, et vraisemblablement pour une diverse raison. Une des raisons pourrait être le fait que ce code n'implique pas l'aspect du commerce international, parce que la voie vendue, les aliments vendus dans la voie publique, à moins que les commerçants tirent le chariot pour franchir la frontière chaque matin, ça n'entraîne pas une internationalité dans les activités. Bien sûr, ça concerne la santé des consommateurs, donc c'est très important comme le sujet pour ce point de vue, mais certains États membres auraient vu cette question de façon principale comme une question nationale, d'ordre national, plutôt que internationale ou régionale. Et je suppose qu'il y a déjà un document qui fournit l'information et les recommandations développées par la FAO et l'OMS sur ce point, et que certains États membres pensent que la recommandation fournie par la FAO et l'OMS suffise pour développer une stratégie nationale sur cette question. Et deuxièmement, il faut quand même noter que les codes qui ont été développés dans deux régions, l'Amérique latine et les Caraïbes, d'une part, et en Afrique, d'autre part, sont plutôt basés sur une approche orientée vers l'évaluation des dangers, hazards, plutôt que les risques. Donc ça prend une forme d'approche qui vise à adresser chacun des dangers plutôt que appliquer une approche du type HACCP. Donc c'est pour ça que peut-être quelques États membres pensent que, étant donné la variabilité des conditions dans lesquelles les commerçants mènent leurs propres activités, et que c'est un peu difficile et délicat de formuler une directive commune applicable dans toutes les villes d'un pays, dans toutes les régions, ou dans le monde entier. Et donc, ce serait quelques exemples de raisons pour lesquelles certaines régions n'ont pas donné une priorité de premier degré à un développement de ce genre de code. Donc, je voulais simplement rappeler un peu l'historique et la nature de débat qui a déroulé au sein du système Codex Alimentaris. Merci.
Thank you, Secretary, for that very important explanation. And can I invite WHO to comment and later FAO, and then we go back to Coordinator for Africa.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to make 2 points. One is that I think we don't need to repeat this notion that Codex is only about international food trade. I would remind everybody that Article 1 in the statute says that the purpose is protecting the health of consumers and ensuring fair pay practices in the food trade, not in the international food trade. And I don't think there's any suggestion to change that. And I believe that at least from WHO we have been trying to suggest for a long time that there is a need for Codex also to help countries at country levels, including poor countries, like I stated yesterday. Then the other thing is that we do have, as mentioned here, we do have different types of advice from FAO and WHO. From WHO, there's a major project called Healthy Food Markets. So we have some general statements and general notions about healthy food markets, and I would like to also state here that they are actually totally general, and they are applicable all over the world, globally. We don't have separate healthy food market statements for the different regions of the world. So this is just to remind the meeting of what has been going on, at least on the WHO side. Thank you.
Thank you, WHO. And I see FAO, you have put down the flag. Okay, FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to add that to what my colleague from WHO said, that this matter has been in discussion for several years. In FAO, there are a number of guidelines as well as more more tailored documentation that was produced under different projects that FAO has implemented in this particular field in different parts of the world. So there is enough guidance that has been produced by FAO and also WHO on street food business. But I wanted also to say, since I probably have been connect with Codex for a longer period of time than our secretary here, that this matter was discussed at the Codex Alimentary Assessment Commission in late 80s, beginning of 90s, and it was at that time decided that this cannot be dealt with at the international level, and that this matter is best dealt with by the regional committee, and is because of the nature of street foods that are very different in different regions and sometimes even different countries, and that the regional coordinating committees would provide general advice to each region on how to deal with street foods nationally. So the debate has already taken place some time ago, and it was decided by the Commission that there wouldn't be an international standards or guidelines for this particular type of food, but there will be rather regional guidance from the regional coordinating committees. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO, for that information. And the coordinator for Africa, and then we move on. Please, coordinator for Africa.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Je crois que j'ai été devancé par le représentant de l'OMS. Le Codex s'intéresse évidemment aux aliments qui font l'objet d'un commerce international, mais dans le cas d'espèce, c'est le problème qui est commun à ces régions. Et je pense que le Codex doit s'intéresser aux problèmes qui sont communs et non pas l'aliment. Quand le comité d'hygiène traite de questions de l'hygiène, il traite de questions de l'hygiène, parfois sans référence à un aliment précis. Moi, je crois que c'est une question très importante, peut-être dans d'autres régions, mais particulièrement en Afrique. Chaque fois que le Comité Afrique organise une session, c'est une question qui est récurrente, qui revient. Personnellement, j'ai fait aussi des consultations. C'est un problème prioritaire et fondamental au niveau de l'Afrique et peut-être dans d'autres régions. Bon, maintenant, il y a la région de l'Asie. Le secrétariat nous informe qu'elle ne trouve pas l'utilité d'élaborer un code ou des directives. Moi, je ne sais pas à quelle date cette position était prise. Peut-être qu'elle a évolué entre-temps. On voudrait bien savoir les raisons. Pourquoi ? Puisque l'Asie est aussi concernée par les aliments vendus sur la voie publique. Donc, je continue à dire que c'est important. Bon, maintenant, la Commission aurait pris une décision de ne pas élaborer une norme internationale. Peut-être que la Commission elle-même pourrait réviser cette position. On est là pour expliquer que, pour nous, c'est une question importante. Donc, rien n'est figé. Si c'est ça l'obstacle, on pourrait s'organiser pour réviser cette position de la Commission. Mais je continue à dire que c'est une question importante et qui mérite d'être traitée au niveau international. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Coordinator for Africa. And this brings a very interesting question now. I mean, the status of the regional standards vis-à-vis status of an international standards. And, well, when you say Codex regional standard, it's a Codex text. And if we talk of Codex regional guidelines, these are Codex texts. So, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, are we saying if it's a regional guideline, it's of a lower status than an international guideline? It's bringing a very interesting question. And member from Asia, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. Actually, I didn't like to take more time for this issue, but what I would like to say that is that many countries worldwide, especially Asian countries, has a very big issue on these street banded foods because it has some problem with food safety and hygiene. So I think it is very useful to have a code of practice of this food, kind of food. So even though this draft was started from the Committee for the Near East, I think it would be better to have this as an international standard. I didn't ask to all of the countries from Asia, but I think it's very useful to have this practice, code of practice, internationally. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Thank you, Coordinator from Asia. And I'm not really inclined to encourage spending more time on this, but can I say I see Vice Chair, Coordinator from Latin America, Member Africa, and the Secretary, and then we have to sum up and continue. Let me give the chance to the Vice Chair.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to add on to what the Secretariat has mentioned and confirmed. There was this draft code of practice already in Asia. It was during the 8th session of the Codex Coordinating Committee for Asia that was held in Kuala Lumpur, I recall. And there was an FAO workshop to draft this workshop, and Malaysia took the lead in drafting that code. At that time, when it was tabled to the committee, there were differences in view. I can't recall, possibly at that point in time, whether a decision has been taken by the Commission on the regional codes, but there were some differences in view between FAO and WHO at that point in time. And where FAO felt that there should be regional codes, the committee noted that WHO had come up with some very generic elements that is applicable across the board and can be done internationally. And because of that, the committee felt that the code is a very useful one. It can still be used as a reference by member countries, but at that time, the committee felt that they would not like to pursue it further. So I'm sure if this matter is brought back to the CC Asia, possibly if there is renewed interest, we could take it up again. Thank you.
Thank you, Vice Chair, for that information. Member from Africa, please.
Yes, Chair. Very quickly. I think what I would like to suggest here is that we have started drafting a code for risk analysis in food safety to be used by national government. We can do a call so for this kind of code of conduct, code of practice, because I think if the aim is that to help national government to apply certain rules and so on, I think we can also use that channel and make it international. Thank you.
Thank you, member from Africa, and the coordinator from Latin America and Caribbean, please.
Sí, gracias, señor presidente. Coincido con lo dicho por el representante de la OMS. Creo que hace que el año pasado o el anterior cambiamos el ámbito de las normas del Códex, sino que ya no se ocupan solamente de los productos que se venden en el mercado internacional, sino que involucra también aquellos que se comercializan a nivel interno. Creo que el tema de la venta callejera es un problema para todos los países, indistintamente de la manera que lo apliquen, y que lo que de alguna manera se pretende con esto, que ha sido casi una casualidad encontrarlo dentro de la lista de temas, es que no se multipliquen los trabajos por regiones cuando se puede hacer uno amplio que sirva de orientación para todos los países o grupo de países. Respecto a la prevalencia que puede tener una norma regional del Códex, lo que habría que tener en consideración, no sé si ya se le ha pedido sobre eso un informe al Departamento de Legales, es si se adoptan con el consenso de todos los miembros. Si hay que adoptarlo con el consenso de todos los miembros, es una norma, asumo que debería ser una norma internacional. Gracias. Pero sería bueno que nos sacáramos la duda.
And before I give the secretary, again, very interesting situation is coming up here. And when we talk of worldwide code of practice, then the danger is to be able to accommodate all the requirements all over the world, it will be very general. And it might lose the opportunity to detail the situation specific in some of the regions. And I thought by having a regional standard, that gave the opportunity to detail the situation specific in a region in that regional standard that might not be applicable in the other regions. And already, if we are being following up the development of codes of practice within the codex system, the codes of practice developed at the very beginning were very detailed, and a lot of countries were using them as almost textbooks. But what we have come up with now is just general guidelines which have just general statements and not as detailed as one would have expected. But the opportunity we have for regional standard is we can detail the specific situations in that given region. And I completely agree that we need safety guidelines, but the way street food is vended in Africa and the way it's vended in Europe and also the way it's vended in the other regions is different. And the details in such a code will definitely differ. So if we go for a worldwide document, we are losing this opportunity of detailing the specifics for the given region, given the level of development, given the level of hygienic standards, the understanding of the communities, etc. And with that, then, can I give the secretary, please?
Thank you very much. Without prejudice to the conclusion you are drawing in the few minutes, I'd like to add 3 points to my previous interventions. First, there is no impediment for any regional coordinating committee to take up new work if they think that it is necessary and appropriate. There is no impediment. And secondly, I have had the privilege to be part of the developing process of a adopted code for Africa, and I have been participating in the discussion of Near East Committee, which is now developing the same code. I have observed that there are such difference between countries concerning the regulation of street vended foods that it is very difficult already to develop a code common to all countries in one region. There are countries where the street vended food is almost prohibited, or you can have only the business which is almost the fixed food business, while in other countries there is economic, social and other need to allow for a large number of business running with minimal investment. So there is already a lot of work to be done to find common denominators among the countries belonging to the region. This was my personal observation. And secondly, when new codes have been drawn up, the countries and regions have the wisdom of drawing all the important and useful elements from the code that had been already developed. For instance, the code under development for Near East is trying to draw as many useful elements from the two existing codes. So there is no that much duplication of effort, and there is certain convergence among the regional codes already adopted and one which is under development. So these are 3 points I wanted to make. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And Coordinator for Latin America, we want to move.
Gracias, señor presidente. En realidad es una cuestión breve. La primera me parece que cuando se dan estas discusiones, lo que estamos perdiendo de vista es que si estamos todos sentados en el códex es porque tenemos la intención de armonizar, justamente diferencias y de encontrar, de tratar de ver si llegamos a un punto de encuentro. Acá la cuestión no es que prevalezca una sola idea, sino que podamos tratar de convivir en este mundo que nos ha tocado conteniendo las distintas posibilidades de los países. Y la otra cosa que me interesaría hacer referencia es que Latinoamérica y el Caribe ha logrado desarrollar un código aún con situaciones totalmente distintas entre los países. Somos 33 países de niveles totalmente distintos, de tamaño distinto, de complejidad diversa, y así todo hemos logrado armonizar. No será perfecto, habrá países que impondrán más disposiciones para la venta. El código es una guía, simplemente, no pareciera tan difícil poder armar una guía, aunque sea presupuestos mínimos para la venta callejera. Gracias.
Thank you, Coordinator Latin American Caribbean, and I think we can conclude that there would be a possibility of having an international code. But in the meantime, let's give opportunity to the regions to develop what they are developing, and the convergence, the transition from international to from regional to international would be handled in the way we agreed yesterday. You see, we came across such situations yesterday where we couldn't, I mean, we found ourselves in a position where we are not able to say exactly when would a regional standard turn into an international standard. And I remember we postponed quite a number of discussions yesterday until such time as would have discussed 6B. And this is one of the cases where we have regional standards, and there are some feelings that we need to have an international standard. So can we again conclude as we did yesterday that this we'll look at when we would have discussed 6B? Okay. Coordinator for Africa and then WHO.
Merci, Monsieur le Président. Juste rapidement une question. Je ne comprends pas, Monsieur le Président, quand quatre coordonnateurs de quatre régions estiment qu'on pourrait élaborer un code d'usage international pour les régions, pour les quatre sur les cinq ou six. Et insiste sur l'importance et qu'on ne voit pas que la conclusion serait de réfléchir à un code international. Merci, Monsieur le Président.
Thank you, Coordinator from Africa and Coordinator from Asia.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. I'm trying to make a quick comment. I don't think this is a matter of the procedure to decide that this would be international or regional standard. This is a matter of whether this proposal should be international or regional standard. So what I suggest is that I don't know who I asked to, but that will be chairperson or the coordinator of the Committee of Near East. But what I suggest is that I'm not sure this code of practice opened to get the comments from all codex members. But if not, I think it would be better to get some comments from all codex members, countries, member countries, if this, whether this is internationally international code practice or regional code practice. Thank you, Mr. Chairperson.
Coordinator from Asia and WHO, please. WHO?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just some technical comments. I'm not quite sure that it's entirely true that if there are regulatory differences in an area, then you can't have totally global codex negotiations. For instance, in salmonella, in some countries, salmonella is prohibited in chicken. I'm telling you, prohibited. In many other countries, it's not. That's a major regulatory difference. But we do still try to make international guidelines in relation to salmonella. And then I would then also contend that seen from a technical point of view, in relation to healthy food markets, which is not exactly the same as street foods, but very close to, we are using in WHO for many, many years one global system. Of course, you go to the city and look at the city, but the general principles for how a food market should be are exactly the same all over the world. And that's also the case for street foods. It's different types of foods, but the hygienic conditions that you have to make are exactly the same, in our opinion. And I think we've seen that also from a practical point of view. Thank you very much.
Thank you, WHO. And indeed, as I mentioned, we are in a situation that we faced yesterday. Here is a project which is in a regional committee, and their interest to have an international standard. Just as we had the situation yesterday, the transition, the decision to change from regional to international standard, the questions as to whether we should have project documents, the questions as to who should be entrusted with this work, because already it's in a regional committee, are to be answered. And we postponed quite a bit of discussion yesterday because we couldn't give clear answers, and we said we have to wait until we discuss 6B. So I think in the same thinking, let's postpone decision on this matter until we would have discussed 6B. This is a project which is already in a committee. And at that time, we should be able to answer some of the questions as to whether is this the appropriate committee to handle an international standard. And I think we better leave it at that, Secretary.
Thank you very much, Jai. Just a couple points only on procedural matters. We are now doing the exercise of monitoring of the progress of ongoing work. We are not in discussion of the new work. And the chairperson is completely right in that if any codex members see the need for international code to be developed either through the conversion of existing regional code or through a fresh drafting, those members can put forward a project document to the Commission or probably more appropriately through the Codex Committee on Food Hygiene. And it would be the members to decide whether the need for such work. And secondly, I would like to mention that as I said a few seconds ago, there will be two possibilities, the conversion from regional code to a worldwide code. In that case, we have to decide whether we pick which code, which regional code to convert into a worldwide code. And I want to recall my previous remarks that all three codes are now structured in a way that the approach is taken on a hazard-oriented basis, and that they are not risk-based standards. So probably if some new guidance is to be provided at the international level, probably consideration should be given to take a risk-based model which could usefully draw from the work of FAO and WHO, who have attempted to apply HACCP principles in street food business and get some elements based on risk. So these are considerations and procedures clarification. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary. And with that conclusion, Vice Chair, you're the last one, and we have to continue.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would, following from the observation of the Secretariat, that the first place to look would be food hygiene. I caution this committee as it considers this question against making hasty assumptions. It's not necessarily only food hygiene one would look to. One might need to look to the Codex Committee on Food Additives. One might need to look to the Codex Committee on Contaminants in Foods. We could be talking about a very large effort involving potentially numerous Codex committees. And I think the question before us really is, and as the chairman has rightly observed, this is not, we're not at the point of making this discussion, but in such a case where we have regional standards or regional activities, we would have to consider what real benefit an international harmonized code of practice would provide in the way of tangible, genuine benefits over and above those provided by the regional standards. And that would have to be a clear and significant advantage, I would think, to justify the significant work that would be invested in developing an international code. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Vice Chair, and can we continue, please? And we were on Codex Committee on Food Labeling. And I had just opened the floor for any comments on the work progress in this committee. And can I ask for any comments? We're on Codex Committee on Food Labeling. Member from Southwest Pacific, please.
Thank you, Chairman. If I could just recall my earlier comments, which I don't wish to repeat. Essentially, the same sort of issues or questions that came to my mind in relation to the previous, more specific questions that were raised by the Committee on Processed Fruits and Vegetables could, I think, be more broadly also raised in relation to the two specific pieces of work that have been long standing within the Codex Committee on Food Labeling. I think these relate to the definitions and the guidelines for labeling. The issue here is not whether the work is needed or not. I think that's not the judgment we are making here as I understand it. It's a question of whether what sort of views the committee can form in relation to the prospects for progress in relation to this work. As I understand it, the committee had an extensive discussion at the last most recent meeting and have decided to continue with the work on the basis of the discussion. Notwithstanding, I think the suggestion or conclusion that there wouldn't, on the face of it, appear to be much prospects for progress in the short term. Again, it's not my suggestion to prejudge how future work might go in this area. But I would just simply put this question in the context of the discussion that we have been having in this committee about what sort of guidance that members of the executive committee can provide to committees that are faced with very difficult pieces of work. Do they seek to continue on the basis of their best efforts, regardless of the time it is taking, or whether they seek to take some hard decisions and say it may be appropriate for us to suspend the work for the short term and make some informal attempts to see whether there are other ways by which you can seek to identify areas where the consensus might be achievable and work on that basis, or whether they continue to persist indefinitely, so to speak. So I don't have a specific proposal either to suggest we suspend this work or anything of that kind. Indeed, my own feeling is that given that this committee hasn't got a very clear and a consistent set of criteria on which to take consistent decisions on such difficult issues, I think my own feeling is it may not be appropriate in this instance for us to be suggesting that it either suspend or discontinue work. But rather, I think, and it is in the light of the clarification that the Secretariat provided earlier yesterday about the committee having a more structured set of criteria to guide our decision-making in this area, I would suggest that in addition to guiding the committee with the criteria that were agreed and finalized at the last, the 58th session of the Executive Committee, we would also suggest that chairs of committee actually be asked to provide a more specific guidance on why work should continue in situations where there have been very significant difficulties. In other words, rather than continue, I think the onus should be some extent on both the committee and the chairs to provide a greater guidance on how work, the basis for continuation of work. So my feeling is that it is a difficult issue, and it is not specific to food labeling. Milk committee over the years have also had difficulties in this area, and I think until such time as we as the executive committee have a clear basis to make provide some definitive guidance, we are going to be making, recommendations which may not necessarily be consistent across the board. I would simply stop at this point, but in my view, as far as these two specific proposals are concerned, our own position is that it is preferable for us to perhaps indicate raise some questions about the prospects for progress, but allow the committee the opportunity to make this further attempt and review the outcome of this further work in the light of progress at the next meeting, if there is to be. So I would stop at that point. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, member from South Pacific, and indeed your observations are correct. And I also need to remind the Executive Committee, we were in a situation where we were not very sure what to do with similar or such projects, and we came up with the criteria. In fact, that was one of the reasons why we had to come up with the criteria. And also, we are in a position now to not to be able to utilize the criteria on the understanding that we don't have enough information from the chairs. But we are also encouraged, if you look at CRD 1, this is a very good response as compared to previous situations. So we are seeing chairs responding and attempting to give us more information. And for this situation at hand, I think it would be fair for us to not only give the committee the opportunity to continue as they have agreed, but also require the chairs to give us more information that will enable us to use the criteria that we have agreed. Member from North America, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairperson. It's good that we're dealing with an easy issue this time around. just to note that, as has been noted, there was a significant amount of discussion on this particular agenda item during the Codex Committee on Food Labeling. It was certainly raised by a very wise delegation that perhaps this particular issue should be subject to the critical review process of the executive committee. And certainly the criteria that have been identified were acknowledged and discussed during the committee meetings. The chair of our committee listened to the constituents and did respond to the members, and and the majority did support moving ahead with a working group. However, the committee did put together a fair amount of criteria to be considered by the working group. So while as North America, we may not be optimistic that there will be success at the end of this particular working group meeting, certainly the chair of the committee did acknowledge the discussion that had happened at the committee, and the working group is moving ahead. I'd also like to note that the committee chair has apologized for not submitting additional comments. She was traveling when the call went out, but the minutes to the meeting certainly do reflect the nature of the discussion that happened during that committee, and it certainly did help in putting together this table to note the progress that had been made and the next steps that had been identified. But as has been pointed out, sooner or by the Southwest Pacific, sooner or later a decision will have to be made as to whether progress can be made on this particular issue, and sometimes these decisions are very difficult.
Member from North America, and I think we need some more energy, and it's coffee break. Let's break for coffee and get some more energy, and we shall continue. Come back in
at 11 o'clock. We shall.
Yeah, at 11 o'clock we resume. Maybe we you can continue storm braining on this, and then we'll come back to it. Thank you.